You're listening to Trucking Questions from the Audio Road with Kevin Rutherford.
This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket.
You can ask questions about trucks,
money,
fuel mileage,
maintenance,
tires,
tax,
technology, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the Audio Road.
Coming to you live from McDonough, Georgia. This is Rico Muhammad on the Rakes and Lanes podcast. It's one of those days again, ladies and gentlemen, where everything is real. I'm in the process of being loaded right now. I have my good friend and co-host of the show. I think he's on the line. Let's see if he's there. Chad, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right. So Chad may be filling in for me while I go sign some bills and everything just to, you know, so that everyone knows that we are actually out here really doing this trucking thing. We're going to get prepared to, until they call me, we'll go ahead and get prepared to do our normal spiel, and we're going to start off with the USDA truck market report. I haven't had an opportunity to post the USDA truck market report for this week. If I get a chance later on today, I will make a screenshot of it and I will post that up in the groups. And this report is looking kind of strange as I'm looking at it right now for the first week of July. Of course, this is like the crunch time if you are trying to get the produce and everything. It's crunch time now to try to get all that, get out, squeeze that in, because this is going to be probably close to the last shot in a lot of these major markets. So with no further ado, we'll just jump right into the markets that are showing a shortage for on the truck fruit and vegetable report from the USDA. And the San Joaquin Valley in California is showing a shortage. Central and North Florida, this says the last report for that region, showing a shortage. West District of Florida, showing a shortage. Also has notation at this last report. I need to find out exactly what does that indication mean that's on their report. I'm going to give them a call maybe tomorrow and try to see if I can get some clarity on that. South Carolina is showing melons and tomatoes are coming out at a shortage. Vandalia District of Georgia is showing a shortage. Eastern North Carolina is showing a shortage. The South New Mexico is showing a shortage. Now, if you've ever seen this truck availability and truck market report from the USDA that they report out, you know, it kind of has bars and it has one, two, three, four, five different sections. They have sections where it's categorized as a surplus, a slight surplus, and an adequate market, slight shortage, and a shortage. And all of the markets that I just ran off are all in the shortage column, which means that there is a high demand in those markets for reefers or vented vans, depending upon what type of produce or vegetables coming out of that market. There is nothing showing in the column of slight shortage. And there, and everything else will fall into the adequate category as far as the fruit and vegetable truck market report is concerned. And, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions or anything that we can help you with, go ahead and press number one to put yourselves in queue so that we know to get you screened out, and we will be coming to you in short order. So go ahead and press one, get your questions lined up. And I think my daughter should be screening from home, and she'll get you guys lined up, and we'll come right to you. So jumping over to the DAT trend lines report for the week of June 22nd through the 28th, low volume increased last week at the close of the quarter, but national average rates remained stable. Local rates rose for vans and reefers in Dallas, and reefer rates spiked in Atlanta, which I can definitely attest to, but dipped in California as from what the report is saying. So we're going to jump over into the U.S. van demand and see where the demand is for this week, and it says that the van loads added 4.9%. Load availability rose 4.9% for vans last week, and capacity declined 4.0%. So that yielded a 9.3 increase in the national load-to-truck ratio from 4.0 to 4.3 loads per trucks in the last week of the second quarter, which it's definitely good. The U.S. flatbed demand market shows that flatbed load availability slipped another 1% last week, and capacity increased 2.5% for a 3.4 decline in the load-to-truck ratio. The ratio dipped from 45.0 to 43.5 loads per truck, which is still unusually high. I mean, when you got 45 loads to one truck, good God. Now, these are things that you definitely need to be taking advantage of out here on the spot market. And for reefers, the load availability rebounded 7.1%, and truckload capacity dipped 4.2% for reefers last week. That resulted in a 12% increase in the load-to-truck ratio to 12.1 loads per truck on the reefers. Now we're going to jump into moving over to the rates for the prospective regions. The national average for van rates was unchanged last week at $2.08 per mile, a record high. Regional trends were mixed, however, with increased rates in Dallas and Atlanta, balanced by declining rates in secondary markets, which included Denver and Seattle. So we'll just jump around across the different parts of the country, and we'll tell you what the national average was for dry vans. Up in the Northeast Corridor, the average was $1.90. Down in the Southeast Mid-Atlantic, $2.45. Midwest, $2.13. Southern Central part of the United States, $2.15. And out West, $2.54 was the average. For this is the driving U.S. Dry van report. Jumping over into the flatbed segment, flatbed rate stabilized last week at a national average of $2.44 per mile. Flatbed equipment continues to be in high demand and rates remain strong. So jumping across the country, once again up in the Northeast, we'll start there. The average was $3.61 in the Northeast corridors. Down in the Mid-Atlantic and Southeast corridors, $2.74. Midwest, $3.23. Southern Central regions are $2.97 per mile. And out West, showing averages of $2.09. For the U.S. reefer rates remained steady last week at $2.42 per mile, a national average, 10 cents above last year's rates, which included the fuel surcharge. So starting out in the Northeast Corridor, average was $2.38 per mile. Now in the Mid-Atlantic and Southeastern region, average $2.03 a mile. Jumping back up top to the Midwest, showing an average of $2.74. And in the Southern Central regions, showing $2.31 average. Out West, showing a $2.56 per mile average. So that's a quick wrap-up of the DAT trend lines and also the U.S. truck market fruit and vegetable report. So, Chad, what are you seeing this week?
It seems like it's very the same as it was last week, very similar, and that's sort of what the DAT trend line says about the same thing as far as rates stayed about the same as it was the week before. To dispatch or help Olivia find the load yesterday, and Olivia was yesterday, the load that took her from Alabama to Texas. And they're a team and has the ability to post them. And they're down there near the Atlanta market. And when I posted them, I would say within less than 5 minutes of after I posted them, it was I'd already missed a good 30 phone calls. It was unbelievable. I couldn't keep up with the volume of people wanting to call and get that one truck and was able to move it for. From that area of Alabama, real close to maybe 70 miles from Birmingham to the Dallas area, four. That was about 377 a mile, 2,500. They did pretty well coming out of there and going to Virginia. What I've seen so far this week.
Cool. And just another thing that I want to remind our callers and everybody that's online, if you have any questions, just press 1 so we can start trying to screen you and get you plugged into the system. If you have any questions about rates on a specific lane, feel free to press number 1. We can try to look up rates for a specific lane for you if you are in the flatbed, dry van, or reefer segments. I don't have anything to really help you guys out with the over-dimensional stuff like that, so I really wouldn't be too much of a help on you in that department. But if you got anything you want to try to figure out some pricing on some lanes and stuff that you're looking at, we might be able to take a couple of calls on that and start trying to see if we can help you out on some rates in that and those particular specific lanes, and get you some information on that. Today I didn't even post my truck. I had a call from a customer that I normally do some loads for, coming out of down in McDonough, Georgia, going up to North Carolina. And when I was pulling rates for the spot market for today, I was absolutely flabbergasted at the rates that I came back at. Let me just say, my guy has a customer that he wants, that he's got a contract with, and that he's trying to be more at the lower end of what the spot market is paying right now, because I guess he's under contract, but I'm not under contract with them, and you know, we couldn't meet up together today on a particular load, but he was had a load that was coming out of McDonough going up towards Goldsboro, North Carolina, and normally he likes to pay around $1,200 on that lane, which is still a pretty good rate, but the rates today came back at the average $3.67 per mile, which for a 434-mile run, which would have netted to the truck $1,592.78, and that's a pretty strong rate. But I've been fortunate enough to early in the week I got a rate of $5.87 per mile out of Atlanta going up to Abington, Virginia. Charged a little extra because we had to go to a grocery warehouse, but the rates in Atlanta for reefers are really, really strong right now, and it's going to remain that way in Atlanta probably up until about mid-August is when Atlanta's going to start to experience a little bit of a slight dip from the historical records that I'm looking at. Chad, you got anything you want to add?
Well, you talked about the ratio being 45 to 1. Is that what you said? The what that was for Atlanta area?
That was for flatbeds. But right now in Atlanta, for reefers is showing 37.3 loads to a truck, showing 4,957 loads available. Only 133 trucks are showing available in the Atlanta market right now. That's real time.
When the demand is that strong, I was once told or read an article from DAT on their blog post about I posted on the Race Mile Masters Facebook group page about whenever it goes above, like when it's 7.7 to 1, and it goes anything above 7 to 1, then and the demand is really high for the truck, and for that truck he can pretty much, it's an open checkbook for that person, for that carrier to be able to name his own price and be able to get it basically. And you're way above,
yeah,
you know, 7 to 1 for your head.
Yeah, and actually for dry vans, actually if you're above a three to one ratio, that's a really strong market for dry vans, because it's such a common commodities go on dry vans. So if you're really above a three, from my experience, you're really in a pretty strong market. And for reefers, the magic number has hovered somewhere in that five to seven loads to a truck. That's been my experience as well. You're dead on with that one.
Yes. And another a tool that I like to use and that I use all the time, and I've mentioned this before in the past, is if you go to Trucker's Edge, and you can do it on the, some of the other little boards as well, but at Trucker's Edge, I know for sure, you can do, if you go there and you do search, and then you go to where it says map, and then you'll have the next line that says inbound, and then an arrow, drop-down arrow, and you can select outbound. And then whatever you have selected there and reload it, you have to reload it each time if you change that part up. And then hover your mouse over the state that that you're interested in. And whenever and it'll tell you the number, the total number of loads being posted leaving that state. And if you select inbound, it'll tell you the total number of loads that are going to that state. And always if the total number of loads leaving the state, if that's larger than the total number of loads coming into that state, then it's going to be a good state to go to. The demand for you is going to be a lot higher. And last time I looked at it, I think Georgia was the number one state to go to because of that. And that's something that before I ever dispatch my truck, I look at that specifically. And I also look to make sure that there's a high volume of freight leaving that state as well, because you can do that. You can go through all the states and find states that has more freight leaving to come in, like say the state of Maine. It does pretty good, but the volume, it doesn't have a large amount of volume, and not all the Northeast.
Right.
A lot of people will go into Maine and pick up those loads, so you got to pay attention to that a little bit as well.
Yeah, and that could trip you up and trick you if you're not really paying attention to it, because it'll look like it's just booming in Maine, and that may not necessarily be the case.
Another one that messes with me a lot that I've noticed, I've been doing this a long time, and there's one state that Arkansas. It seems like it all shows really strong numbers, but you have to like be Little Rock or over near Memphis. If you start getting away from those two areas, it seems like it's harder to negotiate on a load in. The state of Arkansas will have really great numbers. But I think it's just my experience. It's only Little Rock and Memphis area that's really producing those large volumes of freight.
Right. And so, guys, I just want to remind you guys, I don't see anybody. I got a bunch of calls on here, but don't be bashful. Just go ahead and press number one. If you got a question, anything you want to make a comment, go ahead and press one. We'll get right to you and bring you right up. Chad, I wanted to go over some other information that I was looking at here as well. For the month of June, I'm seeing that van rates rose 10 cents in June. The monthly average van rates rose 10 cents in June compared to May, matching the all-time high of 2.08 cents per mile set in March compared to June 2013 van rate surge of 22 cents. There's a chart that DAT has on here that is showing the historical averages on the van rates and what they have historically been doing. I didn't read that in my initial report. So that was for van rates in the month of June, added an additional 10 cents. I'm going to jump over. I'm going to go back through all the segments again and read through. And for flatbeds, the national average rate for flatbeds in the month of June rose 8 cents from May to June to $2.44 a mile, including the fuel surcharge, compared to the June 2013 rates that soared by 25 cents per mile. So it's showing that back in 2013, let's see, at $1.91, it was the high. And then for this year, $1.97 is the high. And that's just the line haul. That doesn't include a fuel surcharge of 53 cents. And jump back over onto the reefer segment, just to read how much it added for the month of June. Rates added 11 cents in June. Reefer rates rose to 2.43 cents in June, an 11 cents increase from the May average, in an all-time high. So that's an all-time. We're seeing all-time highs in a couple of different, well, basically on all three segments, showing all-time highs in every segment, which is a good indication for motor carriers and being out here on the spot market. This is what we're talking about all the time, guys, about making sure that you are taking advantage of the information that is available so that you can demand the higher rates that you want, you know, that we talk about and that everybody really wants to see. And Chad, with that said, buddy, I just got a green light, so I'm going to jump out real quick and go sign some bills, and I'm going to jump right back in with you. We don't have anyone in queue right now. We got quite a few callers on the line, but we don't have anyone in queue right now. So if you want to take over real quick, and I'll be right back with you.
Okay, will do. I guess I'll be talking to myself since no one's wanting to hit one to get in the queue. Another thing, you know, something I thought about over the week is you know, I'm seeing rates this year for 2014 steady and high, and higher than it's been for 2013 for myself. Now, you know, I count some of that for being a better negotiator than I was for 2013. But something that's going to – there's something that with rates being as high as they are, and I think that – and I just was talking to someone on Facebook about this as well, and they were talking about that they're making more money – their rate per mile this year is higher than it's ever been. And that's the same thing for me, and I think this is the same thing for a lot of people. But what I foresee, what I'm looking at, is if this continues where everybody's rates are a whole lot better this year and we continue to have this great luck that we're having and with better rates and everybody making more money, this is what I'm going to say, and it's not – I've never heard anybody talk about it, write about it, or say anything about this. But with when you make more money, you have the ability to take more time off. And with everyone taking more time off because they're making more money than they were before, that's also going to cause a shortage of trucks that are out there. My opinion, I mean, that's gotta affect rates somewhat. I did mention this to a person at DAT. You know, was going to write a blog about it, and I was getting their opinion on their blog, on DAT's blog. So they brought up the fact that that it's possible people make more money, they're going to take more time off. And same thing, I'm keen of that. You know, I take a lot of time off, and the reason for it because I have the money to be able to do so. You know, work 2 weeks, take a week off. Sometimes I work 1 week, take a week off. If I didn't have the money, I wouldn't have the luxury of being able to do that. And if everybody does the same thing, there's going to be less trucks out there on the road, and that's going to keep the rates climbing like they are. But when I talked to the people at DAT about this, they brought up that if that starts to happen, then trucking companies is going to be able to pay more to people that for new hires, people that are untrained, and this will promote more people to become truck drivers. So I guess they got a good point there, but I still there really isn't no big push for people to start becoming a truck driver like it was when I was growing up. It was the cool thing to do, be a truck driver, and used to ride with my dad, and you know, kids looked up to that type of industry to go into. But I don't see that, and I see a lot of CDL schools that are closing, out of business. I used to, you drive down the road, and over there used to be a CDL school, and I got to know where they were because I'd get an extra $100 from TMC when I drove for them if I went in there and asked to do some recruiting for TMC. So I got to figure out where all the CDL schools are, and just a lot of them have closed down since then. That just shows me that really ain't that big high of a demand for people to get their CDL and get into this type of industry. So there will be a time when I would think that rates continue to go up, people are going to continue to take time off, and again, it's going to cause a shortage of drivers. And when there's a shortage of drivers, we can take advantage of it and we get better rates. So let's talk about that. And I guess another thing I want to mention, if you're not, I started the Facebook group page right from our Masters, and something, and I really like talking to our members that are on there, but the only time I don't really get to talk to the members is when I'm out on the road driving, and you can't type and drive at the same time. So, and I want to do some more admin to help people out, and something that I came up with, that a way for all of us to be able to help each other. I'm not the only person that understands rates and stuff, and they can help someone. There's a lot of people in this group that can help other people, and they do it every day by putting their posts. And when someone does make a post, they go in and help them out. But something new that I started on the for the group that seems to be going pretty well is I started a group, sort of like a chat line, Rico calls it a group party line. You think, we call it whatever you want to. It's a phone number you can call, and there's a password you have to put in. And as long as you're a member of the group, the password's there. And so if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. Right now, if I check out the people that's on there, let's see here. We have, maybe that's why we don't have nobody pressing one, because all these people over here on this party chat line or this group line where they're talking. Currently, there's four people and they're talking. I was on there pretty late last night talking to some people, and we had a guest speaker come in and was giving some advice to some people that were asking questions. George Gallimore, y'all might know him. It was really cool that he came in. He had some very good feedback. I'm waiting for that guy to write another book. I'm gonna be the first one to buy it. I mean, I really like his stuff. He brings a different look to it. He also holds the seminar at the CMC. But anyway, this is a great place while you're going down the road. If you've already listened to your audio books and your podcasts and your radio stations for the day, this thing here goes on all night long. It's 24/7 and don't stop. Sometimes I'll come there and I'll be able to talk to other people, and it's really not limited to just rates. Last night there was a guy talking about the mechanical issues he was having with his truck. It's more of what's going to be on the Rate from Our Masters Facebook group page and what they talk about there, but it don't have to stick to that. I really like that idea. So make your comments on the Facebook group page and tell us what you think about that line to be able to talk to someone. It's a whole lot easier to kill the time, and a whole lot a good way to network with other people that you might be talking to them by typing back and forth to each other. But if you have a way to communicate through the group chat, you know, be able to talk on the phone with them, another good way to network with these people. And it's a great group of folks that are on there and on the Facebook group page. But and it's simple to use. I'll give you some stats on it. What time I'm waiting for Rico to get back, how well it's doing. Yesterday we had a call lasted for, yesterday and all the way up and throughout the night, mostly throughout the night. It lasted 798 minutes, which is 13 hours, a little over 13 hours. And the day before was, I think we hit 10 hours, just constantly conversation among people. Somebody will drop out and another person will come in. And they're constantly giving advice and feedback and communicating with one another and how they get the rates that they do get. And that's that. So feel free to listen back. Kevin Shelley comes on tonight. Let's see here. What else can we talk about? Let's see. Yeah. Should have had a bunch of stuff written down to communicate with you guys. Let's see. Well, here's another thing that I was telling someone about was relationships. Okay, another way to look at relationships, and when the certain areas are in high demand the way they are now, let's say a place that does. I do a lot of auto parts. I do a lot of expedited loads of auto parts, and Hitachi makes auto parts for Toyota, and. And a lot of these auto parts that And sometimes, and I've talked to you throughout the states. I mean, there's one up in Ohio, I believe. There's two, I know, up here in Kentucky, and we got some more down in the south. And but anyway, Hitachi, it's like a billion-dollar company. Toyota, billion-dollar company. These are two huge companies, and they have a relationship. And you know, one sells the auto parts to the Toyota factory to make the cars. And it's a very important relationship. And there's a lot of money switching hands between the two. And sometimes the big carriers that have contracts with Hitachi to deliver those auto parts, sometimes they don't. They have a truck go down. They don't. They have an important shipment that has to go, and there's not a truck there, nowhere in the area to move it. And a load of auto parts will come up that needs to get moved. And if there's no one there to move it except for you, and you have the only truck in that area to move it, and that one load that they're going to put on your truck is to maintain the relationship between this billion-dollar company over Hitachi with say Toyota. The one here in Kentucky, the Hitachi place here in Kentucky, I think the distance between the two has got to be less than 60 miles, maybe 70 at the most. But if they were to call me and tell me and want to use my truck to move this load of auto parts, and it's not, like I said, it's only 60 miles. Yeah, we could put a normal rate with it, but if I'm the only truck, and let's say it's 6-7 o'clock at night, and I'm the only truck posted, and they call me, and my one truck is going to be based on keeping the relationship good between these $2 billion companies. So when you look at it that way, is $1,000 too much? Is $2,000 too much? If I'm already asleep and I plan on leaving the next morning, they call me at that time of night, and is it okay to ask for $3,000? Is $3,000 too much on 60 miles whenever it's based on saving the relationship between these $2 billion companies? You know, I don't think so. And I think that if you got up and you moved the load for them, even if it was $2,000, you've served both of these two companies. And the broker, the expediting broker, the freight forwarding company that calls you and asks you to do it, you've just made that broker very happy because saved that relationship and the company's in between relationship. But so anyway, don't be scared to quote your rate high. We're still waiting on Rico, so I'm gonna get a drink of water. And I'm a wife home drinking. Met people from Japan. But my wife is Japanese and says making his family. But anyway, my wife should be back later. But the next thing I was going to talk about is, I mentioned that I took care of Olivia and her load over the yesterday on her load going to Texas. No, it was the day before yesterday, actually. And how I received a huge amount of calls all at the last second. And I want to quote every single load that comes my way. You've heard me talk about quoting the ugly load. And that's one of the reasons why I want to quote every single load that comes my way, is because you never know if that load's going to be the ugly load and nobody else quotes it, and the only price that they have on the table is the price that you give them. And some advice on doing that is to have favorite numbers. And what I mean by favorite numbers is, that's a big drink of water. Didn't know Rico's going to keep me on here as long. But having favorite numbers. And some of my favorite numbers is 1185, 1585, 1985, 2985. You get the point. But those are some of my favorite numbers. And I can spit these numbers out pretty quickly just by listening to what the broker has, what the type of load the broker is offering. And the one that I commonly use is 1585 on a short run. Like, let's say it's 400 miles, 300 miles, or let's say if it was 300 miles and I'm in a high-demand area, I'm receiving a lot of phone calls. Well, I can and we run the miles, and the miles come up, you know, including the deadhead, less than 300 miles. Well, what we can quote $15.85 all day long. If he wants to negotiate it, then he knows where I'm at on my rate, and I can always come down off of it, off of that rate, especially if I like it. And what the and that so having a favorite number, being able to quote that out really really quickly, and get the negotiating part started, is a tactic that I use. And the 1585, another way, another reason why that's become a favorite number of mine is because for the longest time, I used to have my, I used to be set on the fact that for a weekend run, I wanted to get at least 800 miles. I wanted to keep myself employed, and by keeping myself employed, I should be able to run 800 miles. And for the longest time also as well, my goal would be $2 a mile. So if, let's say if I don't get 800 miles for the weekend, but I can at least get 1,600, then I'm making the same amount of money that 800 miles would bring, and I'd be happy with that as well. And that's where 1585 came into play. Well, I can quote 1585 all day long, and 1585 is only $15 less than 1,600, but it sounds like 1,500 instead of 1,600. And another thing that when I wrote about this as well, another thing is George Heck told me that, and he pointed this out, which is true, that 1585 also sounds like a number that I took the time to think about and put together instead of being 1,600. Well, I'm just guessing. You know, 1585 sounds like I really took the time to think about what the rate should actually truly be. And that's a, you don't have to use it, but I use favorite numbers a lot. You know, I want to at least get the ball rolling. If it's an ugly load, if it's going to the Northeast, I'm not afraid at all to say 49.85, because I hate going to the Northeast. And I'll break it down to the broker and let the broker know that not a fan of the Northeast. I don't like driving up there. It's not very trucker friendly, and that he might be able to do better rates with someone else. But if you want to continue to talk to me, my rates are going to start at 49.85. I wish I could press one, take on any of those callers. I'd rather answer questions than ramble on about what my past. But maybe what I'm saying might help someone out. We have, let's see, that the 24-hour talk line that I was telling you about. Let's see if that's got any more extra people. And nope, that's everybody's gone out there. So I don't know if we're going to have a flood of people in there or not tonight. Maybe my family from Japan calling me again. Look at my wife, that's her phone here. I'm going to go over here to look at DAT and see if there's anything here I can talk about. Brooks, he talks about, well, I finally got to my weekend load, St. Louis, Missouri to Amarillo, Texas, 757 miles, paying $2,500.
Okay, Chad, I'm
back. It comes out to $330 per mile. Dang, I'm glad you're back now. I'm over sweating. I'm running out of things to talk about.
well, it looked like you might have gotten some people to start getting boastful. At least,
I wish I could have done anything to get them on there. Okay, bring them on, man. I'm out of breath. They wore me out.
Okay.
So I got dripping off of me.
And I noticed that it's not as easy as it may seem at times, but it makes it better when you got a little bit of caller participation. So
yeah,
I'm gonna put you. I still got to seal up, but I got Melissa that's calling in from Texas, and she wants to know where do you find good rates. I think that's what it says here. Well, let's just go to Melissa in Texas. Hi, Melissa. This is Rico and Chad. How can we help?
Hi. Yeah, I mean, where do you find a real good rate? When I call, I from the load boards, I don't get a $3 or more. All right, I get
Melissa. Yeah, hey Melissa, you have a step deck, right?
Yeah, I got a step deck.
Yeah, step deck. Okay. And you said one thing. You said one thing there that clued into me when you, because you said when you call on load, you don't get the $3 per mile. And I don't call on load. I rarely do I call on load. And I struggle with it when I do call on load because I don't like to be the person that begs for a load. I want you to focus more on posting your truck and staying in the area.
I did post my truck. I don't get any calls in the area that I post my truck in. I get calls from, like, places where they look me up and they see me out of South Carolina. I get loads out of South Carolina, but I'm not in South Carolina.
Okay.
Okay, Melissa. Where do you like to go to? Where do you like to? What lane do you like to concentrate on?
Doesn't matter where I like to go. Where is the money? I'll go where the money is.
That's what we're gonna try to help. We need to try to narrow it down so we can try to figure out how we can best focus our attention on to get you the desired results that you want. Now you said you had a flat. Yeah, well, you would be considered in the flatbed segment, even though you're a little bit more specialized because you have the step deck. And everywhere right now, it's showing that the flatbed freight is in high demand. So, let's go from this week. What have you been experiencing this week? Where have you picked up from, and where have you delivered to?
I picked up the load in Florida for $2,300. It's going to Dallas area out of Jacksonville.
What city you picked up in Jacksonville?
Jacksonville to actually Frisco. I need to fuel tank. It's very easy, and it's not lumber. It's like less than real heavy. It's like 30,000 or less.
And you went to Dallas, Texas.
I got a load out of Tyler going to Austin, where I wanted to end up
$750.
Now, this load is only 230 miles.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second, Melissa. How much did you say you got paid on the Jacksonville to Dallas load?
$2,300.
You said $2,300?
Yep.
Okay, well, according to the spot market rate that I've seen on that particular lane, that's not terrible. I mean, you're right. You're above. Actually, that was above the average. The average in that lane was $1.59 plus a 53 cents fuel surcharge, which puts it at $2.12 on the average spot market. And if you got $2,300, you were right there near the top of the market for that particular segment, which should have been $2.35 to the truck on 997 miles.
Well, it's more like
for
me, it's more because of the deadhead. But
oh, okay, so you had some deadhead in there. And now, anytime that you are in a market, let me see how Jacksonville was looking at the time, flatbeds. Well, I can't go back and look at historical, but Jacksonville is actually a hot market for flatbed freight right now. I'm showing an 81 loads to one truck in the Jacksonville market. So I'm showing, as of right now, 2,204 loads and only 27 trucks available.
Okay.
So, in order to put yourself in the number one thing about negotiating that we keep talking about is having adequate information. If you knew that, where was your truck posted at when you got the call to go to Jacksonville? You said you had some deadhead. So where were you at?
Oh, I got the load even before I got to Florida.
Okay,
because
where
wanted to go to Texas, and that's why I was looking for the best paying load. I'm not posted in right now. I wasn't posting my truck there. I was posting it in Northport. Nobody called me about that because that's where
what city you were posting for?
Northport, Florida.
Northport, Florida. Okay. What major city is Northport near?
Oh, that's the Northport is between Naples and Tampa. It's on the west side of Florida. West coast.
Okay, so
near,
that would have put you down in
Sarasota.
That would have put you down in Lakeland. Yeah, that would have put you down in the Lakeland market, which still was a pretty good market because I'm showing in Lakeland 20 loads to one truck right now. But you specifically wanted to go. Yes, ma'am. 20 loads to one truck.
Mostly lumber and sod over there, which was really wet when I was there because it rained. I mean, you got to look at those things too.
Right. Okay, and I mean, flatbed is not really my, I don't specialize in flatbed. I'm more so of a reefer and drive-in type of guy. But I'm willing to bank on that all of the information that we're talking about is transferable as far as the load to truck ratio. If you understand the load to truck ratio, then it will put you in a better position to be able to...
Can I just give you one example of what I encountered here in Texas,
sure,
for example? I'm looking for a load, like, get this, out of Tyler to Austin, I get 750 for 230 miles. When I look out of Austin to get anywhere, I can't find anything. I found one load going out of Austin on Monday, going to Dallas, for $450 and these are the concrete slabs. The load going into Austin paid 750 and 230 miles. It's the same mileage, just a little bit different product, similar weight. And such a diversity in pricing. What's the deal with that? I mean, that's $300 more for the same mileage, same weight. That's what we deal with out here for some reason.
Chan, you want to take that one on real quick? I'm checking out over here.
Yeah, sure. I was listening to this. And, can you make that last comment one more time, Melissa? I'm sorry.
I'm just questioning, I am coming out of Tyler to Austin, 230 miles, okay, $750.
Yes.
Out of Austin to Dallas, a little bit north of Dallas, okay, I am getting it for $450. Nothing, there was nothing else really going out on Monday.
You're taking it for $450?
Yeah.
$450 is what you're taking it for, huh?
Yeah.
And that's
$2 a mile, a little bit over.
And you're wanting to go back to Austin because of family or for the 4th of July. You've turned yourself into a bad caller. I mean,
I got that other load for $750, same way.
Yeah. And now this one's paying $450, right?
Yeah, so it balances it off, but still.
Did you try negotiating with them over it?
Well, I did. I told him I was, I used to get those loads a little bit higher. He wanted $425, and I said $450, and he said, I can go $450. Oh, gee, okay. I should have said I'm getting a 230 miles for $750. How about $750? I know this product pay more. They don't pay more going out of Austin. It's the product, it's the company, and they can get trucks out of there for that much.
Yeah.
So it's knowing that market too. So.
Okay, I'm back now. Melissa, I keep hearing a lot of stuff
It sounds like you're calling on a bunch of loads. Are you calling on all these loads, or are you letting them call you?
I call all the time. That's how I stay moving. I don't sit in the truck stop waiting for brokers to call me. I would be blue in the face if I did that. You know, I would never
That's kind of what we're trying to get you to have a little bit of patience.
To sit down and wait and twiddle my thumbs, and perhaps I will get a good load.
No, sometimes that's where it pays to have some patience, especially when you're dealing in the spot market. If they notice, we talked about this before. The brokers, all they do all day long is make phone calls. All they do all day long is negotiate. So they're much better at it than most carriers are that try to negotiate their rates. And if they see you, you know, they know how to play the game of that's all we got in it, and they can kind of pick up on little nuances in your voice to tip them off, to let them know how desperate you may be or may not be. And
So let me ask you this then. What would you suggest to me to do this? I'm going to be in Dallas on Tuesday morning. I will deliver this load coming out of Austin Tuesday morning. I don't have a load right now, so what would you suggest to me? Dallas is not a bad place to be for StepDeck next week. Tuesday.
Are you posted already?
I am posted already. They posted me on that. I called them today, and they said that they can post me, and they posted me.
Okay. So how are you called that, and they posted you?
Yeah, I have the account. I'm paying $50 each month, and I never use it. I just get loaded because it's convenient for me. That is not convenient for me to use. But they said I can call them in, and they can post me, and they can search for loads for me. Actually, a person is going to do it. I'm going to have a personal secretary. Woohoo!
Okay, I haven't never done it that way. That's I like to have a little bit more control over it. That way, I can see what's going on.
Oh, I do too. I don't know how that's going to work out. It's the first time.
Do you have a computer?
I do have a computer. Of course, I can look into it, but I can't use a computer while I'm driving. I'm mostly driving. I make money driving.
I understand that. You're absolutely right. You don't make no money unless you're behind the wheel. But what I'm trying to suggest to you is...
If I stop, that's half an hour, you know. It's not going to make my delivery or a pickup, you know what I mean?
I understand. So what I'm suggesting to you is if you can sit down and have... Do you know... Okay, what do you have your truck posted for? Where do you want to go to? I don't care where I want to go.
I want to go for a good rate. Let's put it that way. I have a whole month now that I don't care where I go. I just want to make money. Let's look at Leo.
All right. Let's see if we can help you concentrate on it. Well, one thing about this is that when you're coming out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you want to try to go back to another area that's going to keep you in a hot market. And one thing that... Right now with flatbeds, you are in demand pretty much all over the country. But once again, I'm going to implore you that you're going to have to exercise a little bit of patience when dealing with these brokers when negotiating on these loads. Because if you're calling, like we've stated before, they can see some of the software that they have. They can see if you've been clicking on their loads. They can, you know. Just off of the tone of your voice, they can gamble and detect on how desperate you may or may not be. And they will use all of those different tactics to their advantage when negotiating with you. Now, coming out of Dallas, I'm showing you ought to do excellent coming out of Dallas. The rates out of Dallas have been averaging $2.97 a mile for the flatbed segment. And with a step deck, I would imagine you should be able to do a little bit better than that. And as I'm talking to you, Melissa, I'm noticing that our good friend George is on the line. Maybe he might have some input as well. Let me see if I can grab George.
What? George's online? Oh, goodness.
George, are you there?
George Gilmore.
Yeah, you there?
George.
Is this George Gilmore? George Gilmore?
Oh, George.
George?
Can you hear me?
George, are you there?
Hang on.
Rico?
I heard you. Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you? Hey, Melissa, I'm listening to you. I can judge there's a lot of frustration in your voice, and I know darn well the broker's seeing it. Rico's nailed it. You've got to sit back and relax, and here's the one thing I know very well, and this is from my background of having been in sales. It kind of goes back to the used car salesman, if you want to say, so I don't want to relate to it, is the next person that speaks loses. When I went to the CNC in 2012, I listened to George. I like George's style on negotiation, a lot of it. I don't know what his sales background is, but that's where I think so much comes from, the sales background and ability, you know, to talk and listen and build relationships. And trust me, I had a problem with all of those. But I can sense you have a ton of frustration in the way you're quoting it, and you keep saying, I just want to make money. Well, sometimes it's not just that. It's more than that. And, you know, and keep in mind, you know, Rico and Chad talked about it last week. I mean, I've been in business now. My authority next month, August 16th, will have been 2 years since it was applied for and granted. Ironically, my daughter's birthday when I applied. I left my full-time job a year and a half ago and went full bore and gave it a shot. But, you know, you've got to be patient and you got to have your confidence about it. And I feel like you're, you know, everyone wants to chase the dollar, and I listen to everyone, you know, on the rate per miles, and it's not always just about the dollar. It's more about building the relationship with the customer. And 99% of my freight is direct customers. I want to fix that 1% and make it go away.
Well, can I say something?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about that today, about building a relationship. You know, I was thinking, I go to so many different truck stops, you know, and I'm always kind of nice to everybody. I don't necessarily want to build a relationship with those people that work there, you know, just because maybe they'll, you know, make sure that I go first to take a shower or get a bed, I don't know, hot dog.
Melissa, let me interrupt you just quick. Those aren't the – listen, I want to make relationships with those people too. But those aren't the ones that are going to give you freight and pay you. Here's a prime example. I stopped by Freightliner. Let me share this. I stopped by Freightliner this afternoon. Had to run some information on a VIN number for a medium-duty truck a friend of mine's looking to buy. And, you know, he goes, hey, do you still know them? I said, oh, yeah. Let me go see Charlene. Pulled up the number. We started talking. By the time I left, after she told me about three trucks that were in there, two of them, one was Werner, one was Herb out of Canada, emission trucks, about to be out of service, they're not running, derating, don't know how to get them going, don't think they'll get these guys out of here for the holiday, they're stuck. I leave her my card saying, hey, when Werner calls you and you're dealing with the logistics or dispatcher saying, how do I get my trailer to Buffalo, to Columbus, give them my number.
Well, you know, you interrupted me, so I guess I didn't get to finish what I was going to say.
Okay, I'm
but
sorry, go ahead.
What I was going to say is that not necessarily do you want to build a relationship with everybody or anybody, but your relationship is being built by you doing the good job and quality work and doing what you're supposed to be doing. So when I am dealing with the brokers, I go in with that notion that I am going to do the job that they require me to do, and they're going to do the job that they're supposed to do. Give me the load, take care of the confirmation rate, and get, you know, and pay me when I'm done with the job and appreciate my work. I don't need an accolade, and if I do a good job and I do it on a timely basis and I do it as they require, they'll remember me, and you know what? They do remember me. I don't need to introduce myself. They'll know me because it's going to be on the confirmation rate, and that's going to come out later. But if I'm calling about the job, I'm not going to waste their time by introducing myself. Yes, I am only calling to find out about the load and what it is and where is it going and if it's going to work for me. If it is, then I will be nice and then I will tell them who I am and what I want and what I require. And that's
okay,
what I wanted to say about that.
Now you pull most of your freight from the broker boards?
I pull most of the loads from the broker boards, but I have relationship. I did loads for brokers, and I have their numbers, and I know where they're located, and I know if I needed to call them, I would call them and say, hi, I did a load for you way back then. Do you have any loads in this area, you know? But
I understand that, but what I'm saying is you did a load way back then. I don't want to discount what you gave, what you offered, and what you did, but they don't remember you.
Yeah, they don't remember you because they don't really care. All they are supposed to do is, you know, deal with the loads that they have at hand at that moment, you know, and that's what I understand about relationships and wanting them to remember me. Well, maybe if I really did the load for them and made them pay me a lot, maybe they'll remember me, you know. I don't know.
Mm. Well, no, I don't, but here's my question to you. So let's look at either year to date this year or last year. What's the greatest number of loads that you've dealt with the same broker, the same person? You know, what's the greatest number?
I have done a lot of jobs with a lot of loads in the beginning when I just got my authority with J.B. Hunt coming out of San Antonio because I was stationed kind of close. But then they lost that contract, so I couldn't do those loads anymore, so I stopped dealing with them because they didn't have any loads for me, you know, so I went somewhere else. I mean, they had loads, but they didn't have anything that I could use, so I'm still searching for a very good company where they have loads that are, you know, that are good for me, that pay well. I mean, that's why I'm asking, where do I find freight?
And you know what, you've got some good points there. Where is home for you?
What's that?
Where is home?
Well, home is in South Carolina. I don't like loads out of South Carolina. They put me 150 miles out of where I'm at my home.
Okay, hold on for a second. What I'm trying to say, put your broker hat aside, shut off the computer. When you're at home in South Carolina, what town are you in?
Near Camden. I mean, that's my address, but I mean, that's near Columbia, and that's 150 miles from Charlotte. It's about, well, it's 80 miles from Charlotte. It's 150 miles from Greenville. It's 150 miles down from Charleston, where the loads are,
have you tried to go down to Kubota outside of Columbia? Kubota tractors? Do you like hauling the tractors?
What?
Kubota Tractors has a plant there in Columbia.
I'm sorry?
Kubota the tractor company. They have a plant right there in Columbia. Have you tried contacting those guys?
Kubota?
Yes, ma'am.
Kubota. You said Kubota.
Yes, ma'am.
I haven't really contacted any of the companies myself, shipping companies. The load that I just picked up out of Jacksonville, I talked to them and I asked them, you know, how much do you ship and where do you ship from? They said, well, they have this generator plant down there. I can pick up from the generator plant, bring it to them, and then they can load me up and take it over there. But, I mean, I can't deal directly with shipping companies. I'm not familiar with how all that works because, you know, I'm relying on brokers right now. And, I mean,
so
I know
that's
an
option, but I
haven't explored it yet.
That's what we want you to do. We want you to start to basically, we're going to challenge you to start coming out of your comfort zone. Right now, you're a little comfortable and you're getting frustrated with the results that you're getting. But we got to challenge you to begin to expand your horizons a little bit and try some things a little bit differently than what you've already been doing.
I've been doing this only for 6 months so far, you know, so it's not like I am the hand at it. You guys have been doing it for much longer, and that's why I'm coming here to ask you guys.
Right.
I know my comfort zone, you know.
Well,
And that's why we're trying to offer you guidance. I mean,
yeah.
you're small town. But, I mean, think of all of your family members, cousins, friends, friends of friends, your neighbor. You may talk to your neighbor and find out, oh, yeah, he's a traffic manager at ABC Company. Focus, and here's the other thing I want to say, focus on the little guys. Don't, J.B. Hunt, yeah, you know what, when I started my business, they contacted me and wanted to do power only. I wanted to pick up my trailer in Ohio, and they said, yep, we can do power only. I said, great. I'll grab a trailer, take it to Ohio to pick up my Kentucky and bring it back. They're like, nope, we want a 10-day commitment. I said, well, we're done. I'll bobtail out. And they weren't paying anything.
Well, I mean, they approached me too, but I never pulled for them as a power only. But they really helped me set up my, company with them. So that was a good thing. They keep wanting me to go power only, but I mean, what am I going to do in my trailer then? I don't want to do box. I'd rather not do box. I want to do my step deck. So, you know.
No, Melissa, I understand. But if you're in your town and they want to offer you power only and it pays well, I mean, consider it. I mean, especially if it gets you back.
Yeah, but
Another thing that you may want to consider,
I was able to run, you know. There's got to be some good paying rate somewhere for step deck right now through the brokers, you know. I know it's
I'm going to, listen, this is what I'm going to do. And Chad, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I know you had threw an offer out there that you were willing to do some free coaching with some people.
I've been waiting. Absolutely. I was waiting for Melissa to say something to me. Get my turn to talk. Melissa, hey, I want to do this with you. I want you to hear the way I want you to go through all the steps that I do. And I want you to hear how I go through them and how I talk to the broker. I want you on the other end. And the first time we do this, I want you to just listen. Listen to the way I talk to them and how I sell yourself to the broker and how I negotiate the loads. And we might go through several of them. Right now you're going to Austin. And when you leave Austin, you're open to go anything, anywhere, right? As long as it's step deck, right?
I am going to be in Dallas on Tuesday afternoon.
Are you open to anything, anywhere? Let me do this, Chad. Melissa, is it okay if I take down your phone number and give it to Chad so we can try to help coach you up on some of this stuff?
Chad, Baba,
I'm gonna put you on hold and I'm gonna come to you and I'll get your information and I'll pass it over to Chad. So hold on for me for just one second,
Rico, I'm friends with Melissa on Facebook. You can send me a private message. Give me your phone. I don't think I have your phone number, but you can send me your phone number on there. We can start talking there, and that's the way we can do that. Yeah, well, I'm going to help you out, Melissa.
Yeah, so we'll get her some free coaching, and I think that she said that she's only been doing it for a short period of time, and I think that what she would benefit from is learning how to do the dance. I think that's kind of where she's lacking at a little bit, is learning how to do the actual dance of negotiating and talking with the broker. And Chad is really good at that. He's excellent at that. That's his arena. So we can get you over to Chad and let him help you out. Hey, George, buddy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. The young lady that answered the phone and screened the call, I believe that's your daughter?
Yes.
You are paying her well, right? Her presence on the phone is damn good, and you need to utilize that. She's a wonderful young lady. I don't know how old she is, and said who I was, and she goes, oh, I said, was your dad paying you well? She goes, I hope so. You might put some WD-40 on that wallet and open it up there, big dog.
Well, she's eating real well, so I think we're going to work that out. We're going to have to part of some of that, George. We're going to have to part a little bit of that pay there.
I think she needs a crisp 50 for the weekend. We can write off child wages.
We're going to look into that. We got another gentleman that wants a little bit of our assistance, guys. Let's see. We got Ben out of Minnesota calling in. He wants to know about Florida loads out of Tennessee going on a flatbed. Ben, are you there?
Yes.
Ben, I pulled up on my rate thing, and I'm looking at rates coming out of that. Now, did you want rates or did you want to know about loads?
Well, I was kind of looking to find out about a little bit of both, you know, what's available and what kind of rates are coming out of there.
Well, like we were telling Melissa, she talked about Jacksonville, and coming out of Jacksonville right now, the Jacksonville market on flatbeds is really booming. It's 81.6 loads to a truck. So you ought to
be... Is Orlando in that Jacksonville market, or is that in its own separate market?
You said Orlando. No, that's a different market. Actually, we're looking at Lakeland market, which is 20.8 loads to one truck.
Okay,
which is still a nice demand out of that area.
Okay.
And as far as rates are concerned, I don't have my load board up, but I'm showing that there are 1,060 loads in that area to 51 trucks. So those loads could be going all over the place. I know you wanted to know specifically about Tennessee, so I don't have my board open to pull anything to show anything specifically about Tennessee. But the rates are averaging out of that market, out of the Orlando market, back to Nashville. The range is from $1.13 to $1.60 on the line haul, and you need to add a 53-cent fuel surcharge to that. But the median average for that lane is $1.26 with a 53-cent fuel surcharge is $1.79 coming out of the Orlando market. That is the average. But like I just explained, that you are a 20-to-1 truck load ratio, you need to be a lot better than the average.
Okay. So we could ask for a little bit more coming out of there if I was to.
I would be asking for a lot more.
A lot more. Okay.
I would be a little aggressive on that particular lane. It's showing 692 miles from Orlando to Nashville, and they were saying $1.79. I would probably be trying to push that more closer to on the line haul, maybe around a dollar. I would be closer to the top range, around $1.60 a mile, which would put. With the fuel surcharge, would put you in the range of $2.13 per mile.
Okay. Okay.
Which translates into about close to about $1,500 on that run.
Okay, because the load that I got going down there, the customer that we are pulling for, he's actually said that they're paying us deadhead miles back up into Tennessee. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I could get a little more icing on the cake here and just sweeten that pot a little bit.
Hey, what was your name again, sir?
Ben.
Ben. Okay, so you say they're paying you on the deadhead. I like what I'm hearing. So if you – and this is where I want to pick on Chad a little bit. He talked about earlier about favorite numbers. I understand what he's saying about favorite numbers and working with a number to come up with a number that makes you think you thought about it, but there's more to that. One thing I do is say, okay, my truck is parked here. I'm going to point A to pick up. I'm delivering to point B, and then I'm coming back to point A. What are my miles all? And you can drag the icon on Google Maps and then say, okay, these are my miles, and say, you know what, if I do nothing but this trip, I want to be at $2 a mile. Now, so the customer is saying they're paying you for the deadhead. What do they say, or what are they paying you for the deadhead coming back?
As far as I understand, I'm still getting my line haul and my fuel surcharge on the deadhead to come
this
back
is a direct
up into
customer?
Tennessee. Yeah. Yep.
And you're happy with that rate that they pay you?
The carrier that I'm leased to, it's a small carrier. It's all owner-operators, no company trucks. But we do a lot of drop-and-hook trailers. And we got, like, two real main customers that we pull for, and they have really good rates. There's a few brokers. Yeah. Actually, both of them will pay us deadhead miles to come back.
If you're going from Nashville to let's say it's 600 miles, and you get paid $3 a mile to go down. We're going to pay you deadhead to come back. Are they going to pay you $3 a mile to come back, or do they fix a number to deadhead?
This load's actually originating up in Minneapolis, Minnesota here, and I'm taking it down to Orlando to deliver Tuesday morning. They're paying me to come back up into Tennessee where there's another load for me to pick up there.
How much are they
bring back up into Minnesota?
How much are they paying you to come back up? Because what is it, 400 miles back up, 500?
They're paying me $2 a mile plus fuel surcharge. And then
to come back?
That's to go down and to come back.
I don't know. I mean, that's not awful. You don't have the headache of trying to find something, hunt to find something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can, and like you say, it's a bonus. It's interesting. You know, I mean, that's some of the model that I use. When I first started in my first year in business, I tried to use a model of, okay, I wanted to be or above $2 a mile all miles. And I worked from the base, you know, the base point of what are all of my miles for this trip. You know, what is the value of convenience of, okay, you're getting back to Nashville, hunt and find something there, you know.
He's already got that planned out for me.
The other thing being, you said that you were leased to a carrier. Is the carrier going to, I don't know how you're going to be able to pull that off if they're not going to load you back, because they would have to approve any loads or anything.
He's pretty flexible. I mean, if I do find something, I can discuss it with him, and I can usually – I'll give him the information, and he'll call him and set everything else up for us or for me to get the load.
Do you have to give a percentage of that revenue back to the carrier?
Yeah, he's taking 25%, and that pays for the insurance, the trailer maintenance.
Yeah, I understand that, but what I'm saying is, you know, I mean, you know, if somebody's at $2 a mile, which, you know, $2 I think is respectable. I think more than, you know, if you're saying all miles, but you're saying loaded, I don't know what your deadhead is, paying, you know, 25%, now you're down to 150. I think you need to, you know, I don't know how much control you have over that. I thought you were talking about direct customer.
Well, it is a direct customer for the carrier that I'm leased to.
Well,
we do a lot.
Yeah, but I'm saying in my situation, you know, it's a direct customer with me.
Yeah. See, I don't have any of my own direct customers.
As long as you're leasing somebody, it's going to be tough to have any.
What's that?
And trust me, it's as long as you're leased to somebody, it's going to be very hard to have your own customers. And trust me, it's very hard to have your own customer base. I'm very fortunate, and I couldn't have done it without, you know, 15 plus years in freight sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I also target more of a niche, unique market of literally I went after business that I listened to customers for 15 years saying, can you do this? Can you do this? It's high value. It's over $100,000. It's oversized. It's, you know, nobody wants to haul this. It's unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
I want anything that anyone doesn't want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm afraid, you know, and I don't mean to bash this on the broker side. I am missing a huge avenue of using brokers for a backhaul because I probably have I need to look at numbers. Well over 30, if not 40% empty miles.
Mm-hmm.
But I factor that into my rate. And you know what? I don't want the headache of sitting for a day waiting and going for a load. You know what? I'm coming home.
See, and that's the other thing with him. I really didn't want to go to Orlando because we got other stuff that's going down into Kansas and Nebraska and stuff, and it's a lot closer for me. Because now I got to call IFTA and add some states to get down to Florida, which I took all that off when I renewed my tags on the truck because I hadn't been there in 5 years. And I told the carrier that, and he's like, well, you know, are you going to take it or not? And I'm like, well, I really don't want to, you know.
I mean, well, here's the one thing I want to say regarding that, because I'm renewing my IFTA right now. And there's all these West Coast states that I don't handle. And I talked with a friend of mine, my buddy Dave, and I said, listen, if I knock 12 states on the West off, am I going to save a ton? He goes, yeah, $200-$300. Well, that $200-$300 that you saved is now an aggravation.
Mm-hmm. And when I did that, my purpose was to just try and stay more regional.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm trying to get the miles down and the revenue up, and that's what I've been trying to do with this guy. But he's got guys that'll go anywhere, you know, and he has a hard time saying no to his customers. So then it puts, you know, the burden on us drivers, us owner-operators that are leased onto him, you know, trying to make it all work.
Yeah, but you guys are an extension of him. You are everything except being called an employee.
Yeah.
Which is what it should be. He sells, you move it.
Yeah.
You know, the name on the door, I mean, yes, ultimately, you know, it's your name, but no, it's really his name and his reputation. And that's one of the biggest fears that I'm facing right now as I have some things come together. How do I ensure I have people doing as I'm going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And that's one of the biggest hurdles right there. I'm not sure as far as freight coming out of Florida, I can't.
Do you guys think it'd be a good idea for me to take that? You know, try to find a load coming out of there?
I lean more to what, well, I mean, my thinking is, if you don't, when do you renew your tags again?
In Minnesota, we renew at the end of February.
I would probably avoid that area until February. I mean, because now you're going back and adding all that stuff on, you're going to incur more costs, and that's just my opinion.
Yeah,
I would probably wait until I got ready to renew it, and then you know you can decide at that point in time if you're going to go back down there again or not. That's the way I look at it. If I'm not running to a particular place, like, you know, I don't see any benefit of having it, you know, paying the extra money. I think me and George, we talked about that a little bit. He just talked about it just now with as far as you know, the benefit of having it versus it being a headache. And I just know where I like to concentrate my efforts, but by you being leased on to somebody, you kind of have to be able to roll with the
punches.
So,
uh-huh.
Let me
ask you this. If you find a backhaul out of Florida, do you forfeit the deadhead miles you're getting paid for, or is it just a big bonus?
No, it'll be a bonus because the customer won't even know about it. Pretty much.
And what
it's
kind of trailer?
It's flatbed. 48.
You know what? Here's another
axle.
Thing. Take a goofy search. Spend some time. You know, I know people complain about. Look on YouTube. You may find some of the goofiest crap that people want to move. You know, put two cars on there.
Yeah.
You know, see if you'll get set up with a company called Central Dispatch. I haven't done that yet. You know, you pay $50 to a guy come in with a rollback, roll two cars on there. Pay you $600 each, bring them back, and be done.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not advocating U-Ship, because trust me, I've had a bunch of crap, but if he goes into U-Ship, finds a piece of machinery wanting to come back, tell him to ask a question on U-Ship and sign it, John Wilson Trucking. You know what? Mm-hmm. Hopefully you'll find the 1 out of 10 that has a brain there that will take John Wilson Trucking, and I don't know, that's not the name of your company, and we'll Google search it, get your phone number, and call you.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done stuff with U-Ship, and one move was through U-Ship. Seven, mm-hmm. Were very painful ways to try to get people to contact me directly, and they did. And they paid cash in hand or whatever, PayPal right away.
Yep.
You've got to search for a ton. You've got to go to weird avenues.
Okay. Well, I just, because I'm applying for my own authority because I want to get out and just do my own thing and get out from underneath the bureaucracy, if you want to say, of being leased on to somebody, because he kind of just didn't give me a choice on this, because today when I called, or he called me, and he asked me if I was going to take this Florida load, and I said, well, hemmed and hawed around about it, and he goes, well, I'm glad you're not a doctor in the ER, because I'd be dead by now. I said, well, I'm trying to stall, because I don't want to do the load.
Afternoon, Saturday morning to be there Monday?
No, I got to leave Sunday morning to be delivered Tuesday in Orlando.
You're still home for the holiday.
Yeah. But when I called in yesterday, when I told him I got unloaded, he said, well, it's a holiday weekend. Things are really slow. I said, okay, well, is there some short stuff around that we can do, or I can just go out and back? And he goes, well, are you going to take that Florida load or not? I go, well, that's the only thing that's going on, I suppose. I'll have to go load it, and then come home and sit. And he goes, well, I got this other load, too. Why don't you go run and do this, and you'll be home tonight yet? And it's like, I just wish he would have just came out and said that he wanted me to do that.
Why didn't you do both of them?
Well, that's what I did. I'm on my way home now from delivering the other load.
Because I talk so much about customer service. Customer service is the man that you just talked to and you get your paycheck from. Obviously, he was having a problem covering that load, or whatever, because he made a commitment to the customer.
Yeah.
And that commitment needs to be there. And if the rate that you're going to pay is not, it's well above the average.
Yeah. Well, see, this load that I just did is another one of his direct customers that we do work for all the time, and they pay phenomenal rate. And
sometimes you got to take some lumps.
Yeah, and believe me, I've taken plenty of lumps, and I did get real boisterous with them and tell them what I thought about some certain stuff that was going on, the way he was running me. And one day he called me and just told me, he said, I think we just need to part ways. And I said, well, I don't want to do that right now. I said, you're not getting rid of me that easy. And we worked things out. I said, well, I'll just, so now I'm biting my tongue and just kind of doing what I need to do until I do get my own authority. And I'm just biding my time, with him. And, he's a nice guy. He's willing to help you out. But I'm just to the point now where I feel like I'm forced to do some of this stuff. Otherwise, he's going to, treat me like a little child and make me sit for
It sounds like he's kind of giving you a scarlet letter. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It is what it is. But I also don't want you to think jumping up, getting your authority, you're going to be out sitting fat, dumb, and happy. It's a lot of freaking work. I mean, trust me, I'm still going through it.
Mm-hmm.
There are times I sit, and like this week I sat. I haven't done a whole lot, but by design, because I had three phenomenal weeks, very happy for what we did for our company, my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
I did a move today for a customer, very good customer of mine, and he goes, how much? I said, I don't know, Jim, you're getting me into the door of someone else. It's 10 miles down the road. I wasn't doing anything. I felt happy as can be to do it, meeting the president of the company who I met at a party a couple weeks ago, sitting there, my trailer is a step deck, Kentucky. I had the airbags inflated to back up to the dock. One of the airbags exploded while I was there.
Oh.
Well,
you know, everybody from the machine shop and everyone walking out, what happened? I have an airbag that exploded, and I'm like, well, that's all it was. I thought it might have been a tire, but no way. The tires are brand new. And, you know, these are the lumps you take. But yet I have another move I'm doing for a customer local that will be phenomenal. I mean, it's 7 stops. I've already picked up the trailer. They preloaded. I use their trailer. And I have 3 stops in Syracuse, 1 on the way back, and 3 more in Rochester. I'll be done by 1-2 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, but these are relationships that, you know, it takes so much work, and so many people won't and are not willing to do it.
Yeah. See, and he, you know, this guy that I'm leased onto, he will hire me back as a kind of a subcontractor. So he does have other owner-operators with their own authority and their own trailers, and they'll just throw their trailers in the pool, you know, and he'll run them just the same as me. And I'm kind of hoping that maybe that's, you know, my avenue, but when I don't want to do something, you know, I can just tell them, well, I got something else going on, I'm busy, you know, over here or whatever. And
yeah, but then again, he may not be calling you when he has something good.
Right. See, you're there, because that's the conundrum that you're running into, and you kind of need to. What I think you may need to do is maybe go in and talk with your guy that you're with now. Say, hey, I really like to, you know, tell him what it is that you want to do, and try to see if there's something, some kind of way that you guys can work together so that you can say, okay, I really like running primarily here and here. Do you think we can work together to build up some type of a lane or something in this area and just come at it from a different approach versus it being more of an adversarial thing? Just kind of maybe see if there's some kind of way that you can kind of get him to get, you know, to get in the boat with him and row in the direction that he's going in, and try to see you know, you can maybe help him expand his operation to an area that's more conducive to what you like to do. Think about coming at it from outside of the box situations. You got to always just try to keep your mind working around how is a different way for me to approach the situation, walk around it, and, you know, just and maybe bounce it off of a couple of people. And get some different input on, you know, I really would like to stay concentrated in this primary. That's kind of what I've been hearing from your conversation, that you kind of like running in an area that he wants you going in an opposite direction. Well, maybe you can do something where you can help him build a win-win situation. And now at the present time, say, you know, look, I understand it may take us a little while to get up and running in the area that I like to run, and for the meantime, in between time, to show you how much I'm dedicated to you, I'm going to bust my hump to do whatever it is that you want me to do. But I want a solid commitment in return that maybe we can try to help me build a little area, build a little niche in this area, so that, you know, we can begin to do this, and I may be able to help start recruiting some guys so we can get more capacity in this area, something like that. You know, you got to kind of think of it from another angle and put it in a good package so that it may be more receptive on his end. But so you always got to be kind of thinking, you know, how can I sell this to him and at the same time get what I want? And that's basically, you know, you just got to kind of, like I say, just walk around it a little while and come at it from a different angle. Because at the end of the day, the customer needs to be serviced, and like George was saying, you know, right now he is your customer, and his customer, you know, he's trying to service his customer. So you have to try to service him, because that's where your paycheck is coming from.
Yeah. Because last week he called me out of the blue and asked me, he goes, hey, I got a customer, and it's pulling the Conestoga, running lumber, you know, multiple jobs, doing this, doing that. And I know that he had done work for him in the past, but they called him up and said, hey, we're looking for trucks. You know, what kind of number do you need to run this freight down to, like, Kansas and Iowa and Nebraska and stuff like that? And he called me up and asked me, you know, what I thought about it or if I wanted to do it. And I'm like, well, you know, it'd be nice to at least make $2 a running mile to the truck, you know. And
well, see,
he
that,
goes,
that,
well,
that,
they
that,
want.
That. Go ahead,
what
I'm sorry,
want?
Go ahead.
What's that?
Wait, finish your thought. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Well, anyways, I told him what I wanted out of it, and he said that they were looking for a number, and he shot me some numbers, and I told him, I said, well, it sounds fair, but I said, I think it needs to be a little bit higher because I think the capacity's up in what they want, and, you know, as soon as stuff drops, we're going to be the first ones to be cut out of there. You know, and I told him, and he even thought the same thing because of the market. It's, you know, it's lumber, it's building materials, and right now things are hot up here as far as that goes, and they're looking for trucks, and it's just like, okay. I told him, I said, well, maybe you need to ask them for a two-year commitment, you know, or a two-year contract with them. I said,
yeah, that's not gonna happen, especially right now in this market. The most you're probably gonna get out as far as a commitment out of anybody right now is six months. Nobody's doing the 1 year, two year contracts. That's gonna be tough sledding. But you know, the other thing about it is that I hear you mention about. Every lane is going to pay differently. So you have to kind of get up to speed as to what those particular lanes are doing. But at the end of the day, like I keep preaching this as well, you must know your numbers. If you don't know your numbers in order to make something work, then you're really shooting yourself in the foot. It doesn't do any good to talk about all these great rates and everything else if you have to cut. If you have to be in a really tight market, if you have to be right now, everything is booming. But in a really tight market, you need to know your numbers in order to stay abreast of what it is that you can and cannot do. So I strongly advise you to know exactly what your bottom line numbers are and what ratios you have to have. And if you can cut cost and trim the fat as much as you possibly can to make something work, to do what it is that you like to do, then, you know, at the end of the day, if that's what makes you happy, it's like, you know, it's like I talk about Chad and Chad's negotiating style versus my style. Chad was willing to go anywhere and everywhere. I'm not so willing to go anywhere and everywhere. So in exchange for that, in order to do what I want to do, I have to give up a little bit of my negotiating leverage, but I'm happy doing what I want to do, and I still get a pretty good rate to do what it is that I want to do. But you have to know your numbers in order for something like that to work for you. You kind of have to be on top of your numbers day in and day out so that you can find that happy medium, that happy, find that comfort level for yourself. So that's, you know, I hope that some of this information that we're giving to you, I hope some of this helps you out. And, you know, if you got any more questions, we want to try to get one more call in before we wrap it up. If you got any more questions, maybe you can touch back with us sometime next week. I got some closing thoughts, but we're going to get over to Joe, who has a question about deadhead miles before we wrap up. Joe.
Hey there, Rico. How you doing?
I'm well. You're on with George and Chad and myself. How can we help?
Well,
hey,
as far as that last
careful,
gentleman
careful,
we were just talking
careful.
To, listening to his comments, he needs to just stay where he's at. He doesn't need his authority, because why in the hell would anybody want a two-year commitment to freight rates now? They're going sky high. You lock it in now, you might be at $4 a mile in 2 years from now, and you're locked in at $2 a mile. His comment about put the load on there and his customer may never know. If his customers find out he's put a deadhead on them when they're paying them, guess who's going to lose a customer?
Right, good point.
That man has,
great point.
You know, I mean, wow.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I guess I didn't think about it in that manner. And I don't know how it's negotiated. That may be also something that his boss has negotiated. Okay, I'm getting $6 a mile down, but I am breaking it down in this manner to get you home.
Yeah, because he said he's getting the same rate to come back up. Well, if he's being paid to come back up, and he puts a load on there, because there's been times my customers paid me to come back from Maine, and you know what I haul, George, and then, you know, it's like people say, why don't you put a load on there? Uh-uh, I got ethics. My customer pays, he's getting the exclusive use of my empty trailer. If I put something on there, I'm not risking a 24-year commitment that I've had with my customer because I'm stupid and going to put something on there. $1,000, $2,000, it ain't worth it.
Absolutely.
Right, because then you may run into a problem on trying to get the load delivered, and then it screws you up trying to get your reload.
Oh, yeah,
so you're exactly right.
Yeah, and then, you know, when you're being paid to come back empty, and then, like I said, the right there when he says he's about a two-year commitment, who would want a two-year commitment? The shipper would love a two-year commitment right now so they can lock you on the rates as they are. But me
right.
as a carrier, I don't want a commitment because tomorrow the rates are going up and I'm going to be on that curve.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I think one of the things that we got to do is, you know, one of the things that we may start looking into doing a little bit more here on the podcast is we got to start talking a little bit more about shifting your mind frame and dealing, you know what I'm saying? We're talking about rates and everything, but I think that some people, I know we got a lot of new listeners and a lot of new people are coming in. But I think we have to get people prepared mentally to be able to address the issues that are coming up. I think there's not quite a good connecting of the dots, if you will, on what it's going to take to actually achieve what it is that we've been talking about as far as getting better rates.
Oh, yeah, because what I'm doing right now is I'm working on going from 3 trucks to 5 trucks, and I know where I'm at now. I'm looking at where I need to be in a year or 2 years from now, because whatever I'm at now has already been dealt with. I'm not worried about tomorrow or anything. If you're worried about your numbers tomorrow, you're already behind the eight ball. This industry changes, and you need to know your numbers today, but you need to be looking
right.
6 months out and a year out, because if you don't, you're going to be gone.
Yeah, you got to be doing projections. You got to be doing projections down the road, and kind of trying to get a feel for having goals and things of that nature. And I think that's something else that, you know, these are new things that we need to be incorporating in to try to help people out along the way to equip them to be able to deal with the change in markets. Other than just talking about rates and, you know what I'm saying, the little bit of surface stuff that we deal with, we want to start to try and take it a little bit deeper so we can try to help people a lot more.
Yeah, I was saying with the deadhead and stuff, I mean, we still need to not lose sight of our ethics out here. You know, we don't need to be so greedy that we give everything over to the wrong side and lose our ethics and our morality out here, you know. We need to keep that centered.
Great point, Joe. And that's one thing that everybody talks. You hear so much talk about brokers not having any ethics. That's something that we definitely want to make sure that we are holding ourselves accountable to on having good ethics and doing good business.
Yeah,
you know,
here's one thing I want to say
with regards to that of ethics. I listened to it when I was in LTL sales. When I, you know, every LTL company I worked for had a brokerage. The ethics went out the window. But you know what the customer liked? The customer went to the broker because they felt that was the best avenue for ethics. Which puts it down to what Joe and I have talked about. Joe and I talk a lot. You know what? You got to put a value on getting your own customers.
Right.
You know, there's just nothing to it. And somebody would say to me, you know, it's George, it's easy. Well, maybe it was easier for me. But you know what? It took me 15 years to build that relationship. I talked to a very good friend of mine, you know, two friends that are in their early 30s. They're like, yeah, but you can do it. I'm like, well, fine. I'm 48 years old. You're in your early 30s. You know what? Call me in 15 years. Tell me how you're doing.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen overnight. But in order for you to begin to do it, you got to start. You can't sit, you know, you have to start, you got to come out of your comfort zone because nothing is going to happen in your comfort zone. That's why, that's why I say it's comfort zone. You got to challenge yourself. You got to begin to grow.
And the other thing is, remember, don't take it personal. When they say no, they're not saying no to you personally, and they're only saying
right.
no today. Tomorrow is a different day. Tomorrow they may be saying, hell yes.
And that's the other thing is about, you know, you got to make sure that you stay, like you just said, Joe, a no today may not be a no tomorrow. You got to have some kind of way to make sure that you are re-contacting, re-engaging with potential customers. I call them, have, you know, divide them into different categories. Have your prospects and your suspects, you know. And
absolutely. I remember calling in and talking to Kevin one time where it took me 6 times to finally get to the right person. Now I'm to the right person. A customer pays me very well for very high value. It's not my art customer. It's someone else. And they pay me round-trip miles.
Exactly.
And I'm good with that.
Exactly.
You know, but Rico, I'm going to say this one. I want to say one thing to you here, Rico. I gave you a lead on reefer business. Have you done anything with it?
You know what, George? I sure had. I need that. Did I get the phone number from you? No, I don't think I got the phone number from you.
Yeah, I told you what the business was. Ice baby.
Right. I remember us talking about that, but I didn't get a chance to follow up with it just yet. I tell you, I've been running like a man with his head cut off here lately.
Well, put me back on hold. Let me talk to your daughter. She'll get the business, and you can get a portion of it. You can lease on to her. She probably could get the door open better than you or I, because she's probably better looking than you or I.
Yeah, you got that right. But I tell you what, I'm definitely going to try to put that on my to-do list on Monday, because I don't have anything booked out on Monday yet, and I'm going to be back in town, and I'm going to block some time off to make sure I get that done.
I will try to find some more myself.
It's funny you said that, because the other day I rolled right by one of those businesses, and I was looking at it, and I was like, George told me I need to call those guys and see if I can help them out with get some ice in here.
There you go. Maybe you need to, get some speakers on your shoulders and, you know, play the song.
But no, I'm going to follow up on it. I've been chasing some other things, but I'm going to follow up on that one as well.
I'll try to find some more from my side, too, but I know the avenue's there.
It just seems like, I tell you what, man, and that's what, I've been trying to help some people out, and then since we've been doing the podcast, I get tons of requests, and I need to say this over the air while I had everybody on there. It's not that I don't want to help you out, but it just, my time has been really at a crunch since we started this thing, and I get a ton of requests of people wanting me to give them a call or whatever, and I want to definitely help as many people as we possibly can. Unfortunately, I cannot, time doesn't permit me to make those individual phone calls and everything like that. So it's not that I'm ignoring any of you guys or anything like that, but if you shoot me an email or something like that, I can probably respond better with an email or something like that or a private message on Facebook if you have any questions or anything like that that I can help you out with. Like I said,
well,
not
I'm
that I'm
fully
ignoring
in
you.
Agreement. I'm fully in agreement with you on that. I mean, I'm certainly not, what I call a road warrior out here. But you know what? I got other things going on. I've already got Kim getting upset that I haven't mowed the lawn. Well, I was going to do it tomorrow, but now I got to move, so I'll do it Friday.
Cut the grass, George. Cut the grass.
I think it's 3 acres, so it's grass farming.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate all your help and participation. Joe, you got anything you want to close out with? We're going to do closing remarks.
Nah, we're good, buddy.
All right, Joe, well, we appreciate it.
Chad. Sir.
Anything you want to close with?
Yes. No, great show. Thanks for letting me do the first half of it. That was fun. Really enjoyed it. Like to remind people that the Facebook group page Ready for Mile Masters. I'm currently testing something that might grab some attention, help some people stay awake late at night if they want to talk to other members of the group while they're going down the road. I've got the number posted there on the group page if y'all want to dial it and put in the code. And there's currently right now 3 in there chatting away. The group talk line is what we'll call it. That's it. That's all I got to say. Thanks a lot, Rico.
Cool beans. All right, George, your turn.
you know what, guys, you know, guys and gals out here, you know, just be patient, you know, have fun with it. You know, the last thing the customer wants to hear is any of us complaining, but, you know, just have a fun, have a good time. I mean, you know, there aren't many people out here that want to get into this industry. We're doing something that many don't want to. Bring the value and ultimately work to get your direct customers. Talk to your family, talk to your neighbors, your cousins. You'll be surprised where the connection is. And, you know, I mean, I've been very fortunate. I'm excited for the way things are building. Trust me, I still don't have two nickels to rub together. I'm driving a 2003 Columbia with 1,149,000 miles on it today. But the thing has been good to me, so much better than the emission stuff that I ran into at Freightliner today, complaints. But, you know, do the good work. Be out there and, you know, if anybody's interested in seeing some of the stuff I do, I'm on Facebook. Our company name is Blue Heron Logistics, like the bird. That was my plug.
Customers, I just thought of something. Means that we had a little thing there talking about getting your direct customers, and just came to my head thinking about it. Is a lot of towns have SCORE. It's a for small business counseling, and that's run and SCORE is it's people that own other businesses, and they offer free counseling. And if you're struggling a little bit, or even if you're not struggling, you want advice from other business owners, look up online, find the local SCORE meeting area where they do it, and that's a great place to find direct customers to get their loads.
Chad, I really like that. Yeah, right. I have not thought about that. I'm familiar with it, but, you know, but also be there to offer. You're going to come in. I mean, if you go into Lexington or Joe goes into, you know, Sioux Falls, wherever, you know, Madison, whatever, I come into Rochester, New York, Rico. Where are you in Rico, Atlanta?
Yes, sir.
You know what? I'm willing to bet there's very, very few of us in SCORE, you know, that can offer an educational side of the transportation and logistics.
I do it right now for the SCORE in Lexington. I've only helped one person there, but
How long ago was that? When did you start?
It was probably a year ago when I helped out another driver. But my first time using SCORE, going to them, was when I first got started 3.5 years ago, before I knew who Kevin Rutherford was. That was where I got some of my
I assume that's a monthly meeting or something like that. You got to participate more to build the network. And it goes back to what I said, build the relationship. Hang out with these people. Drink a beer with them.
And in the vein, maybe next week we'll do some homework and give out some more tips on trying to establish and get direct customers. Another great free resource. I've always talked about LinkedIn, but there's another thing like a social media type deal. It's called Meetup.com. And if you go in there and just put your interest in, as far as business interest and stuff like that is concerned, there are tons of meetups that are going on in just about every major city, and your potential customers are there waiting to meet you. There are different types of after-work mixers or so on and so forth. If you have the time, or even if you don't have the time, if you go on meetup.com, they tell you when the meetups are going to be happening in advance. You can plan around those meetings to make sure that you're home and that you can go out, you know, make sure you got your business cards, make sure that you got, you know, you made it in and gotten a good hot, clean, fresh shower and your clothes are coming out the cleaner. And go in there and rub shoulders, you know, go in there and rub shoulders with some of these guys that are the decision makers. And the other thing that I really want, you know, we had a couple of callers tonight, and the thing that's kind of sticking out in my mind is that you gotta, when you're approaching and talking with your customers or even negotiating back and forth with your brokers, you gotta have confidence in what it is that you're doing. You gotta, and some of the callers tonight came across like, you know, almost defeated a little bit. And if I pick that up by listening to you on the call tonight, I know for sure that these brokers are just picking the meat off the bone. And you got to start. This is a journey. We don't want to. I'm not saying this to try to pick on anybody or belittle anybody, because that's not my spirit. My spirit, I'm coming from a point of I want to empower as many people as I possibly can. But the other thing about this is we're going to be able to touch surface things, and we're going to try to go a little bit deeper and bring a little bit more knowledge on these podcasts. But at the end, after the podcast is over with, it's going to be incumbent upon you as an individual to go and take the things that we're trying to put out here over the podcast and go deeper with it. Try to seek out other things that are going to add to your knowledge base that you can, so that when you talk about things that you can speak with a from a position of power, from a position of authority, because it's something that you absolutely know with every fiber of your being, because you took some time to sit down and look at it, and look at it and analyze it, and have more conversations. This is just a beginning. This is a jumping a starting point. This is a leap off point to help you go deeper and bigger and better, hopefully for everyone. Because even with all of these calls and everything, and George just said it, with Chad mentioned SCORE. I think all of us guys, and some of you guys, you may think that we know it all, but we actually benefit from listening to you all. It helps us to begin to think to solve problems as well, and it helps us analyze our business, so we start to pick up little things, even though we may be helping you out, but it also brings it back on us, and it helps hold us accountable. Like George has held me accountable about the tip that he gave me that I hadn't followed up on yet. So now that I got that accountability partner, now I know I don't want to let George down, so I definitely got to go follow back up on that.
Most of the work will be on your part. I gave you a little sliver of somebody that I know that does it in and out of New York City and what is being offered. And just I'll share just quickly, it's literally about ice. Every reefer can move ice, and it's going to go to a place that most people will be like, ice goes there. Yes, it does.
Right. And I never thought about it, but I gotta follow up on that. And these things will help. Having those accountability partners and developing those friendships and relationships. But it's becoming, like George said, I'm gonna have to do most of the work, but that's fine. And that's what I want you guys to understand. We want to try to give you some information, but sometimes, too many times, I've noticed, like, in different places, sometimes people want you to spoon feed them almost. And I'm not saying that was the case with tonight, but I'm just saying in general, you have to be willing to take and reach for the brass ring. No one's going to give it to you.
I'm going to quote Larry Winget, and his one book. I've not read it yet or on audio, but it's called Work for a Reason.
I got it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, we just got the tone. We got to get ready to wrap this thing up. We went the whole 2 hours tonight. I was planning on doing just one, but it morphed into 2 hours. I hope that you guys got something from it. If you have any questions or concerns, please shoot us an email. We'll try our best to get all the emails and everything answered. So with that, and for the entire Let's Truck team, this is Rico Muhammad signing off from McDonough, Georgia. Thank you, guys. Be safe out there. Master the journey.